it was amazing to hear her tell this story. You know, she had other kids. She was a mature woman. She wasn't stupid. She was very rational. She wanted to be back. She left the hospital, went back home to continue her labor. The hospital got a court order to have the police and the emergency medical team to go to her house. They forcibly took her back to the hospital, and she had a cesarean there.
So it's
working? Yes. Well, no. Well, she never had an attorney. They allowed her to state her case while she was at the hospital getting prepped for the cesarean. What?
The judge show up?
It was all over the phone.
I have to ask, so that's the thing that I'm wondering about is, you know, this, even if you put aside the rights of, what about just the basic principles of due process? I mean, I do a lot of observation in mental health courts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've seen people with catatonic schizophrenia get more rights assigned
right.
to them.
Right. Absolutely. You know, there was no time for her to have to get an attorney. You know, they essentially call the judge. I mean, there's a process that they use for these types of cases, or which is similar to child endangerment cases, where you can like report it to the judge ex parte. You say this is going on. They allow, you know, and then they issue the order to bring her back to the hospital. Then she got to say her piece as she was being prepped, and then they performed a cesarean. The judge said, you know, this is child abuse. This person needs to have a cesarean. The doctor said she needs one, and she needs to have one. And as ACOG says in the great piece I gave you, you know, a lot of times these predictions are wrong. I mean, there have been women who have snuck away after they've been ordered to have a cesarean and had a normal vaginal birth at another hospital. They're not always correct.
CNN.com just had a case, what, a month or 2 months ago? Woman
not,
had had
not
three
cesareans
and then decided to do a home birth, and it went fine.
Yeah, and actually, VBAC is... ACOG just came out with, which has been very anti-VBAC for obvious reasons, partly because they consider it dangerous, partly because they're usually done by midwives at home. So they generally have said VBACs are too risky. But they did reconsider that just this past year. They came out with some guidelines for VBAC. Alec?
Can someone with a little more medical background talk about, when you said that lady, the woman wasn't allowed to get a second opinion from a doctor, are these doctors that were assigned, was it her chosen OBGYN, could she have called up her lifelong primary care doctor if she had one, or if it wasn't her chosen OBGYN? I don't know.
Well, it was an OBGYN that she saw in the hospital, and I don't know whether
she... Was it assigned to her?
I don't know whether she had an ongoing relationship with that, a previous relationship with that one or not, but because they had said she needed a bed rest, she said, I want to go get a second opinion from another doctor, and she wanted to leave the hospital and see another doctor.
Worst
I don't know why they couldn't have just called another doctor.
Worst case scenario, should you be allowed to say, like, hey, I also want to consult with my lifelong primary care physician, and I don't even know who you are, but you're just making this judgment based on me. I have a long-standing history and relationship with my doctor. That should also be honored.
But can't you always get a second opinion?
It seemed to hinge on her being able to just leave the hospital, so I don't know.
I mean, the fact is, you know, she probably could have gotten a second opinion within the hospital if she, you know, the problem is that it's probably one OB group.
That's what I was going to say.
That all attend this hospital. So any OB in that group is probably going to back up the person who said you need bed rest.
If it's after hours, too, there's only one person on call.
Right.
So you really couldn't get it.
So if you want a meaningful second opinion.
Which is what we've done in the past, is you transfer to another hospital, get their opinion, and then hear from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but these doctors sometimes have their own agendas.
Mm-hmm. Within the same group, I wouldn't necessarily consider it a second opinion.
Right.
Which is problematic because a hospital usually only contracts with one group, so.
But they wouldn't allow her to leave the hospital.
Right, so she couldn't really get it.
I just have a quick question. The concept of consent, is that addressed at all?
It seems to me that that is glossed over entirely and no one even addresses that. To me, you could argue it's a battery, it's whatever.
Right,
it's,
absolutely.
You could attack it sort of in that direction. It doesn't even seem to be.
And ACOG says in their statement, and AC Case and others have said, the woman doesn't lose her right to give informed consent just because she's pregnant. But this is a bodily integrity issue. You can't perform surgery on someone without their consent.
I think in Re AC, the Superior Court actually reversed the trial court, and then the husband sued the hospital. And the hospital settled and said, we're sorry, we'll never do it again.
Right.
So there was a civil suit because essentially, I mean, if she had won on appeal, if she had won in this case an appeal, she could sue the doctor for the battery. Because yes, you were operating under this a wrong presumption that you had the right to do this and you didn't have the right to do it. And the fact that a court actually gave you an order wrongfully doesn't protect you, arguably. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it does. And you can't sue the judge. Unfortunately, you can't sue the judge.
And I think the problem with consent is that many times, especially with pregnancy for labor and delivery, you're signing the consent. Many times the hospital requires that in 1 month to 3 months in advance of your due date.
Oh.
So you're
it's
signing
not meaningful
away
consent,
you know, saying that based on what you deem is medically necessary is what will happen at labor and delivery. So you're.
But they still need
the
hospital form when they're in the hospital, unless it's an emergency. The issue
right.
is whether anybody ever explains
well, that's
that.
Right. That's what, yes.
And that's a whole
other
issue.
No
cesarean
knowledge.
Rates are sky high.
Right.
Are women really fully informed of the risks
right.
of cesarean? I doubt it. I think a lot of people just see it as a convenient alternative without really being informed of the risks. And oftentimes the doctors, for their own scheduling issues, want to perform a cesarean.
Medical malpractice rates right now to do a VBAC after, you know, so a lot plays into the fact of why they won't do one.
Well, and in 1999, VBACs were much less common. Not that they're common now, but they pretty much were almost impossible to find. Some doctors are now doing it. They're starting to realize that maybe women should have the right to make this decision to do a VBAC if there's certain conditions present that would allow that. In 2004, the state of Utah charged a woman with murder because she refused to have a cesarean. She acceded to the cesarean like 11 days later. She was pregnant with twins. One of them was born dead. She was charged with murder. And she pled guilty to a lesser charge of child endangerment. So these things are quite common. And it's not going away anytime soon. And I think a lot of it does have to do with how we think of women who abuse drugs, obviously, are not seen as worthy of protection. And oftentimes, if they do drugs and have a stillbirth, not often, but often they've been charged with murder in that circumstance as well. So I'm going to close because it's getting late. Any comments or questions or anything about? Yeah.
Actually, what
yes.
would be the alternative to this? Would it like force the doctor to make have a VBAC? I mean, if the doctor doesn't want to give one, it's like, no, you have to.
I don't think that you can force a doctor to do
right,
a VBAC.
Right, so what
but
should they have
issue
done?
Is
I mean,
whether she can find one to do one.
Right, and also, like, it seems like you're pregnant for 9 months, so why did this wait till the last minute?
Which case?
I don't remember the name of the one, where she wanted to have a VBAC and then
oh.
she went home.
Right.
And then the police came, like, what? Why did it go to the very end? Why couldn't she have, like, a birth plan kind of thing? Or find a
she
doctor
couldn't
that would
find
do
a
it?
Doctor to do a VBAC.
So, then, I mean, like, what would be the better alternative, though? Like, you know what I mean? Because obviously this is something bad happened here, but, like, if none of the doctors are willing to do it, it's kind of like, well, whose fault is it?
Well, she was
going to
do it with nurse midwife at home, right?
She
right.
had a plan, it sounds like. Her plan was that she was going to do a home with a midwife. But
right.
if VBACs become part of standard of care, then it becomes the abortion issue, which is that if you don't feel comfortable doing it, that's fine, nobody can force you, but you must legally provide some, an alternate person. Yeah, so if VBAC becomes, you know, accepted as standard of care, then if you don't choose to do it, that's fine, you have to refer somebody who would.
And the problem is with the practices as their
even within practice, actually, they do try and recruit people.
Right.
Most practices, if they have somebody who's against abortion, will make sure that other people within the practice are comfortable with it, just because for logistical reasons.
I think it's going to become, I mean, it's never going to be common, but more accessible than it has been.
I mean, I would see that, I mean, if she had shown up in the ER and she was, like, in labor, and they really thought that she can't do this, and there's nobody around to kind of like see through this other process, and you know, things are really kind of like moving very quickly, and she's kind of like medically not stable, and she's refusing the C-section, then I could actually see the getting the court order. But here, going over and scooping her up at home when she had other plans and everything like that is.
But ACOG says you never should get a court order. I mean, essentially, when that happens, you've got a communication breakdown. I mean, usually in these cases, I think people much too readily go to court to deal with these issues versus talking to the woman, talking her through the alternatives, allaying her fears, you know.
So one of the places that court orders first came up, we talked about this a little bit last week, is that when people came in, and they'd come in with a gangrenous, an elderly person would come in with a gangrenous foot. Right? And it's like, well, you know, gangrenous, it's going to kill you, you're going to get sepsis, you're going to die. We want to take it off. No, you can't take my leg off. And they would actually get, the judge would basically go and interview those people and basically try to make a determination. You know, the psychiatrist come in, does the person understand the natural consequences of this decision? If so, he knows he's going to die.
Choice, right?
That's the way it is. But if the person was really out of it and had no clue that this was going to kill him, and it was just kind of living in an alternative universe with the hope, you know, I hope to live, and this
right.
is going to get better.
Right, and that's a different situation.
Give the order, cut the leg off. And that's the old approach, but now all of a sudden you have this fetus thrown into the mix.
And that
this
was my question
fetus.
Was going to be to what extent is mental illness playing into it, because that is one of those categories in which the state has traditionally had a right to intervene in a much broader way than they could.
Sure, and that's a competency issue.
And this is protecting the vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Enjoy
yeah,
this week.
Thank you.
Next week will be Alita Allen talking about privacy. It should be quite entertaining. I'm sorry I won't be here for it. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Just the topic. If you have any questions, you can negotiate. And I'll get sent to it. I'll give them.
I know.
May I get the first one? I didn't get it.
Which one?
The first one. I got this one already.
This one?
Yeah, I think this one. May I have another one?
Yeah, or is there another one?
Do you need that one?
Oh, I got it already.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, I know. Hi. Let me undo all the...
There's a, is that extra?
Is this yours?
This is one, somehow it's not quite, yeah, exactly. It's not stapled quite.
Uh-oh.
Right.
But it's the same
oh,
one.
Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. Wait. How many pages is that?
I think it's three.
This one?
Yeah, it's just stapled right there.
Oh, okay. Here's an extra here.
I got it.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so
much. All right. Sure. Thank you.
That's the one that
oh, thanks.
This stuff just blows my mind sometimes.
Oh, same here. And I'm, you know, supposed to know it.
But interesting topic, and nice to actually have dialogue, because I'm sure that not everybody totally agrees,
or maybe even
coming from sort of an evangelical background, where I don't necessarily agree with those
maybe
around
a parallel to what's happening.
Right, and where you literally can't,
quarantine cases.
I just can't have a discussion with
like compare and contrast.
Right.
So there's no having a discussion.
Yeah, no.
There's no basis to start. That's why this conference was so fascinating to go to, because, you know, I was at this cocktail party after the first day, and I was chatting with this woman. It turns out that she is the publisher of the pro-choice law report based in New York City.
Oh, okay.
You know, we sat there and talked for 30 minutes. You know, it was like...
Okay, great. Thanks, Professor.
Oftentimes, we don't come into contact with people who we disagree with on this issue,
right.
You know?
Sometimes.
What?
Sometimes.
Well, I was just saying this conference I went to at Princeton, where it was...
You wouldn't go.
You know, there are a lot of people who... You wouldn't go, really.
I don't believe in the, what is it, the middle ground?
Well, I'm not sure if I do or not, but I think just getting people to talk is not necessarily a bad thing.
There's been a major effort since the 80s. Right?
I know, but...
Trying to get like, different sides to talk, and what they all agree is that we should reduce, do something to reduce the incidence.
Except that then many of the